Hello everyone, my name is Muthayan Sivathanu and I'll be talking about Gandiva, a cluster scheduling framework for the purpose of running deep learning training jobs. Okay, this is a joint work with several colleagues at Microsoft Research and several interns as well. Deep learning is an increasingly important workload in data centers today because of the growing popularity and impact of deep learning, right? Most products that we use on a day-to-day basis, such as web search, are powered by deep learning in one way or the other. So, you know, it's a workload that matters to cloud data center providers, right? One interesting aspect about deep learning jobs is that they are compute hungry, which means they need expensive custom hardware in order to be able to run efficiently, right? And the dominant platform that's used today are GPUs. So not surprisingly, most cloud vendors run large clusters of these GPUs, which often cost billions of dollars, right? So to keep the cost of deep learning innovation manageable, it's important that we manage these clusters of GPUs efficiently. So the specific aspect of deep learning that I'll focus on in this talk is training. Now, training is a process where, given an end-to-end workload or an end-to-end application, such as, say, speech-to-text, one builds a model that gets good accuracy for that workload, okay? So this involves several steps. You know, it could involve picking the best architecture for a given model, tuning the architecture for accuracy, you know, tuning various hyperparameters and so on. So it's a long process, but it's key to the process of DL innovation, okay? Now, one somewhat surprising aspect of deep learning training is that this process is mostly by trial and error, right? Because there is so little theoretical understanding of, you know, why and how deep learning really works, the only way to answer the question of whether a model would perform better than another model in terms of accuracy is to actually train both models, measure accuracy, and see which one is good, right? So this means there are lots and lots of trials in the process of training, and that translates to not only high latency, but also a huge resource cost, right? So training actually accounts for a significant fraction of GPU usage in many of these data centers. So the goal of Gandiva is to run deep learning training jobs in a large cluster of GPUs as efficiently as possible, okay? Now, before we get into Gandiva, let's look at how scheduling of DLT jobs happens today. So the standard practice today is to use a traditional big data scheduler like Yarn or Kubernetes to run these jobs, right? So they treat a DLT job as any other big data job, all right? So when a job comes in, the job gets allocated to a GPU and the job holds exclusive access to that GPU until it completes. There are two main problems with this approach. The first is high latency. So let's say there is a long-running DNN job that's running on a bunch of GPUs. You know, this job could take several days, for example. And if a short job that only needs a GPU for a couple of hours comes in, it has to sit in queue behind this long-running job, okay? What is worse is if an ML researcher does hyperparameter tuning or auto ML, where there are multiple configurations of a job that need to be tried, and then early feedback from those jobs is used to decide which ones to continue, which ones to kill. Now, each of these configurations will have to sit in queue behind these long-running jobs, right? Which significantly slows down the auto ML process. As OS researchers, we know how to solve this problem. The standard practice is to, you know, preempt the long-running job, you know, do time slicing and so on. But it turns out it's somewhat challenging in GPUs, partly because they're hard to virtualize efficiently. The second problem with the approach today is low efficiency. The binding of a job to a GPU is actually fixed throughout the lifetime of a job, which leads to suboptimal usage. So here's a simple example. Let's say there are two servers, each with four GPUs. And let's say a new job comes in that requires two GPUs, okay? The red boxes are GPUs that are already being used by existing jobs. So the only way to schedule this job is to run it across the two servers, which means there's going to be network bottleneck communicating across these servers during training, okay? Now, at a later point, some of the jobs may leave, may actually complete. So what you would ideally like to do is to move the green job to server one so that it can run in an effortless manner, right? So this ability to migrate jobs is crucial to extracting efficiency. But again, this is challenging because not all jobs have the same degree of sensitivity to locality, right? So which jobs to migrate is a challenging decision to take. The way Gandiva addresses these two problems is to use domain knowledge. In particular, there is one remarkable aspect of deep learning training jobs, which is what we call intra-job predictability, okay? So this graph shows the run of a typical DNN job, ResNet 50 in this case, on the ImageNet dataset. X-axis is time, along the y-axis, we plot the actual amount of GPU memory, GPU RAM, used by the job through its runtime, okay? Now, you can notice a remarkable periodicity in this graph. Each of these spikes actually pertains to one mini batch. A mini batch is essentially a group of inputs that is processed. And you know, if you look at the width of these spikes, it's actually uniform, right? So the mini-batch times are actually consistent. The other interesting thing to note here is if you look at the peak memory usage within a mini-batch, it's versus you know the memory usage at the end of a mini-batch, it's almost 70x off, right? So when you want to migrate a job, for instance, it's much better to migrate it when you're at the end of a mini-batch because you move a lot less data, right? Also, from a time slicing perspective, this periodicity gives us a natural grouping of you know what granularity to do time slicing and suspend of jobs. So what is Gandiva? Gandiva is a domain-specific scheduler that's built for the purpose of running these DLT jobs. In contrast to traditional schedulers, which view the job as a black box, right, and have a narrow interface between the scheduler and the job runtime itself, what Gandiva does is it effectively widens the interface between the scheduler and the job runtime, right? So the interleaving of colors in these boxes indicates that the scheduler is now more aware of what the job is doing. Similarly, the job runtime is modified to export more information and control that the scheduler then uses to optimize its decisions, okay? And the result we achieve is much faster and cheaper execution of DLT jobs. You know, the twin problems that I mentioned in my previous slides, latency and efficiency. In terms of latency, we reduce queuing times by as much as 4.5x. And the auto ML exploration, the multi-job scenario that I mentioned, speeds up by nearly 5 to 7x. In terms of cluster efficiency, we improve it by around 26%, and this directly translates to cost savings. So I'll next talk about the key mechanisms that Gandiva uses and then present some evaluation of the system. So the first mechanism that Gandiva uses is time slicing. So the key idea here is to allow oversubscription of GPUs as a first-class feature, right? Similar to what operating systems do in the CPU land. The time quantum we use, however, is much longer. It's about a minute as opposed to a few milliseconds in CPUs. And so a minute translates to roughly about 100 mini-batches of DLT. And clearly, this is better than you know queuing a job behind an existing job and waiting for it to complete, because what you need in DLT is early feedback of accuracy that you use to you know define what next set of jobs to run and so on. So here is a quick flow of how the time slicing process works and the interaction between the scheduler and the job runtime, TensorFlow or PyTorch in this case. So when the scheduler decides to time slice a job out, it sends a suspend message to the runtime. But what the runtime does is instead of suspending the job right away, it actually waits for the current mini batch to complete, right? And then copies the state from the GPU to CPU. Okay? As we saw in the previous graph, this reduces the amount of data that you need to copy by a significant factor, so it's efficient. And then it suspends the job on the CPU, and that's when the time slicing is done. Okay? And because of this awareness of when to actually do the suspend, we can do time slicing with very low overhead, nearly 50 to 200 milliseconds, as opposed to you know 50x that time. All right. The next technique that Gandiva uses is migration and packing. The idea here is you should be able to move jobs around across servers, across GPUs, to improve cluster efficiency. Okay. Again, here, generic migration of distributed processes in a cluster is a hard problem, right? It's not robust, it's inefficient. What Gandiva is able to do is because it customizes it with a deep integration with the deep learning toolkit, TensorFlow or PyTorch, we can actually do this in a much more robust and efficient manner. Now, there are three key scenarios where migration actually helps. The first is the defragmentation scenario that I mentioned in the first few slides, where you need to promote affinity of jobs by moving jobs around, right? The second scenario is heterogeneity, where you know if you have a job that's really not utilizing a high-powered GPU, you're better off moving it to a lower-powered GPU for overall cluster efficiency. Packing is the third scenario. So if you have a job that's only, say, using 20% of the GPU cores and the GPU RAM, then it makes sense to run multiple of those simultaneously on the same GPU instead of time slicing them, okay? Now, in all these three scenarios, one key challenge is how do you prioritize the migration decisions, and how do you really know that when you decide to migrate or pack, that actually improved end-to-end performance, okay? So that brings us to the third key mechanism of Gandiva, which is application-aware profiling. To see why this is important, let's consider a simple example. Let's say you have a job running on a GPU, it's using only 50% of the GPU, okay? So we decide to pack another job on the same GPU, and that increases the utilization to 80%, okay? Now, prima facie, this seems like a good thing. We seem to have increased or improved efficiency, but that's only one of the possibilities, right? It is also possible that the bulk of this utilization increase actually is due to overhead, the cost because of interference between these two jobs. And in some cases, overhead can be as high as to make it a net loss compared to running just a single job. And we have seen real examples of this as well. What is worse is different jobs have different sensitivities to this interference, so it's hard to predict it beforehand, okay? So the solution that Gandiva uses to sort of disentangle the useful work from overhead is to actually do application level profiling. Okay? So instead of using just system level metrics such as utilization, we change the runtime to actually export the actual application, application progress metric, in this case, the time taken per mini batch, and that is a much better proxy for whether we have actually improved things. Okay. So with that, we get this introspective scheduling functionality, essentially, where, you know, in contrast to traditional schedulers, where the scheduling decision is really a one-time decision at the time of job placement, Gandiva can continuously adapt and recover from mistakes because it can measure how well it's doing and then undo wrong decisions and so on, right? And the key enabler for this is, instead of traditional schedulers that do system-level profiling, such as utilization and aggregate numbers, we actually have visibility into application-level progress, and that helps us to introspect much more efficiently. Let me quickly talk about the implementation and give you some results. So the scheduler is implemented on top of Kubernetes. Kubernetes itself here only serves the purpose of orchestrating containers and managing machines. The entire scheduling decisions is managed by the Gandiva scheduler. You know, one thing that's interesting to notice here is a part of the scheduler actually runs inside the container of the user deep learning job, right? And this, again, points to this core design that I was mentioning about. And the Gandiva client actually interacts with the DLT job to extract metrics such as, you know, profile information and so on that it then communicates to the Gandiva scheduler. Okay. Now, the implementation also required several changes to deep learning toolkits. We have changed two toolkits in this case, TensorFlow and PyTorch, to implement these mechanisms of time slicing, migration, et cetera. Okay, so let's get to some results. So this graph shows, you know, how time slicing works in practice. In this experiment, you know, x-axis is time, y-axis is, you know, the number of mini batches per 6 minutes that were completed. And, you know, we are running six jobs in this. Six ResNet 18 jobs in this case. So initially, only four of the jobs are running, and you know the machine has four GPUs, so each job gets a full GPU, and it gives you something like 3,300 mini batches per second. Now, at time 25, two more jobs come in. Okay, and as you can expect, time slicing works well enough. All the six jobs get equal share of the GPU. But what is interesting is if you look at the top blue line, that shows the net aggregate throughput across all the six jobs, right? And that sort of remains roughly the same, which means the overhead of doing this time slicing is actually negligible. This result demonstrates how packing works in practice. So here we zoom in a little bit on the, so the y-axis is mini batches per 30 seconds to show the time slicing dynamics. X-axis is time again. So here we run just two jobs, okay, on the same GPU. Initially, they start off being time sliced because, you know, the scheduler doesn't know if it's safe to pack. So you can see that the jobs alternate in terms of their access to the GPU. The graph on the in the bottom shows the actual aggregate GPU usage, right? It shows both the RAM usage and the core utilization. Because the scheduler sees that the core utilization is low at time 30, it decides to pack both the jobs, right? And then once it packs all the jobs, the green line in the top graph shows the net throughput in terms of net mini batches per second increases significantly. And that means that the packing was a good idea, so it continues with the packing. This is an experiment that shows how it helps, how the Gandiva time slicing and prioritization helps with AutoML. This is the multi-job scenario that I mentioned where, you know, different configurations of a job need to be run. So in this particular case, we run a ResNet 50 model. And we explore 100 different hyperparameter options, okay? And the key idea here is we use this thing called HyperOpt, which uses early feedback, early accuracy results from the existing configurations to predict how well this will do eventually, and then uses that information to prioritize or kill jobs, okay? Again, so we plotted for three accuracies, 70%, 80%, and 90%. And the ability to sort of explore a lot more configurations in parallel because of time slicing and the ability to prioritize configurations that seem more promising results in about a 5.5x increase or 5.5x improvement in the efficiency of running AutoML, okay? This graph shows results on a full cluster. So in this experiment, we run a trace on a cluster of about 180 GPUs. The trace is actually gathered from, a production workload at Microsoft. And along x-axis, again, is time, as you would expect. And along y-axis, we plot an aggregate metric of efficiency, in this case, just GPU utilization, average GPU utilization across all GPUs. Okay? So there are two lines, the blue line and the orange line. The orange line is baseline. Blue line is, you know, the performance with Gandiva. As you can see, the utilization gap is nearly about 26%. And this directly translates to cost savings in running this workload. The green line actually shows the number of packing decisions that were taken by Gandiva during this workload. As you can see, initially, you know, it tries to profile and decide whether to pack, so the gap between baseline and Gandiva is low. But once it starts doing packing, the gap widens quite a bit. Okay? And in this particular workload, the average latency, the average time to early feedback of these jobs reduces by about 4.5x. Okay? And this directly translates to productivity of machine learning researchers in terms of trying out more models, running AutoML jobs faster, and so on. In summary, we believe that large cloud applications benefit from, you know, a customized approach to system design. And this is an example where this approach of co-designing the cluster scheduler for a particular use case, in this case a DL job, you know, allows us to exploit much richer information and control, leading to both latency and efficiency wins. Okay? I've talked about three key mechanisms: efficient time slicing that results in low latency, application-aware profiling that allows us to introspect and adapt job allocation, custom migration and packing that's deeply integrated with the DL toolkit that allows us to improve efficiency, and it also helps, you know, improve AutoML exploration to be much faster. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mutayan. Let's open the floor for questions. Before people start, okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Eun Ji Jang from Seoul National University. In terms of the programming model, is there any extra information a user should provide, or should a program should be modified to enable Gandiva's various optimization techniques?
Good question. We don't require any changes. So the idea is to work on unmodified programs. So existing DL jobs should run unmodified in the system. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Qian Li from Stanford University. I'm NiceHawk. I'm really interested in the packing technology. So I was wondering, have you considered using space sharing, or you only did time sharing? Thing?
Good question. So the initial time slicing technique that I talked about is basically time sharing,
yes,
right? Where at a given time, you run only one job, and then you alternate, you swap that job out, run the next job, right? Mm-hmm. Packing that I talked about is actually space sharing, because simultaneously you run both jobs together. And you essentially, I mean, that only works when the utilization of the job is low enough that the GPU's internal scheduling does a good job, right? So in the packing case, we do perform space sharing, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Joe from Purdue. So I was wondering, do you have the number, like, what's the percentage of the jobs that has to be migrated because the resource packing? Let's say the job was initially decided to schedule to this machine, but later on you find the GPU was fully utilized, but you have to migrate. What's right. The percentage? Yeah.
So we have results in the paper. You know, if you look at distribution of job utilization, or rather GPU utilization across jobs, right? Something like 40% of the jobs in our production workload utilize GPU by less than 50%, and those are all ideal candidates for packing. Now, not all of them will benefit equally from packing, because sometimes the interference actually outweighs the win that you get. So some fraction of those jobs actually benefit from packing.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, I have two questions. The first one is, how do you handle model parallel systems or reinforcement learning system where the different agent does different things? And second question is, how do you handle cases where you have multiple workers relying on a different type of jobs, like distributed system with parameter servers, where parameter does something different than workers?
Right. Good question. So we do handle distributed jobs as well. In fact, some of the experiments we report are with, you know, data parallel jobs. The idea is, you know, you need to, when you migrate, you have to synchronize across those jobs and migrate together.
And what's your delay when you are moving a distributed job? Do you still have like 50 milliseconds?
No. So when you're moving the job, our latencies are in the range of 200 milliseconds to about a second. So we have more details in the paper, but in most cases, it's less than a second. You know, one thing to remember, though, is this time that you incur in moving a job to a different machine, it's actually not overhead, because you know during that time, other jobs will be running on the GPU. So although latency of the migration itself gets affected, it doesn't affect overall cluster efficiency, because it's done in the background along with other jobs that are running on the existing GPUs.
Thank you.
Paul Barham, Google Brain. So I didn't really understand from the talk whether you're trying to transparently migrate a Kubernetes container with a GPU in a way that preserves sort of trust and isolation. But you're still, the application within the container is communicating to the scheduler when is a good time to migrate. Is that roughly the
That's right.
story?
So the trigger point of when to do the migration is coordinated between the Gandiva client and the Gandiva scheduler, right?
Uh-huh.
But when the migration itself happens, scheduling. It is container level migration.
Okay.
So we use Creo and standard techniques, right? You know, one challenge is Creo in itself doesn't handle GPU state, so we need to do special work to ensure that the GPU state is all moved out before we actually do the migration.
Okay, so it's sort of exclusive GPU mode access, and you completely swap out all allocated memory.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Thanks, Muthayan.
Thank you.